just really, just candidly, I was shocked.
Well, I don't think we sh I don't think we should be shocked about it. What I'd say is, the average resource grade is a compilation of a lot of data work and geostatistics, and takes into some areas into consideration some areas with lower grades. You've got higher grades. But what is interesting to me is that if we go through and do the math on all 65 drill holes that have been released to date, all 65 intercepts in the deposit, the grade is running in those drill holes 10 to 15% higher than the average resource grade. So that's a good indicator. It's not to say that we're going to have a higher grade in the deposit when we get to PFS, but what it does say is that we can feel really confident about the resource we have. And remember, the PEA, the preliminary economic assessment we completed last year, has a $740 million NPV at $3,000 gold. And that NPV moves up to about $1.2 billion at $4,000 gold. You're talking about something that's worth, again, $2 billion at $4,000 gold for something that's trading at today, a market cap of roughly 120, 130 million US dollars. So that's the leverage, that's the value.
Hugh Agro, Revival Gold, good morning to you, my friend.
Great to be back with you. 2026, Andy. It's really kicked off to be a good start to the year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Just to all my viewers and listeners, I'm a avid investor, a very happy investor in Revival Gold. I have added more to weakness. My family has added more to weakness. Hugh's been down to Atlanta and presented to all my friends. I do not speak for any of them, but Hugh and I are also very friendly off camera. Revival Gold is also a sponsor of natural resource stocks. So just full disclosure on everything. So Hugh, I'm looking over on to my left, which is another computer screen here. You had a bunch of news that dropped about a week ago. Let's work me through that. And yeah, let's start there. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the first thing is we've put out another 19 drill holes from our 2025 drill program. Recall that was 115 RC and core drill holes at our Merkur project in Utah. This is our lead project. It's slated for permitting and PFS this year, and we'll be planning to start construction in about 2 years' time. So very excited about these results coming out. As I say, 19 drill holes. We're getting grades like 1.8 grams over 20 some meters, 30 meters. And this is all near surface oxide gold mineralization, which fits in very well with our heap leach, open pit heap leach plans for the Merkur Gold Project in Utah. So that's the first aspect of this result. More great drill results. We got another, I believe it's about another 50 holes to come. And we'll get those out over the next a few weeks here.
So I'm laughing not at you and not at Revival Gold. I'm just laughing because I'm laughing at myself. This is great. And to all my viewers and listeners, you really need to pay attention to Revival Gold because they're going to have a lot of news coming out. Correct me if I'm wrong, Hugh, over the next 3 to 6 months as things progress, correct?
Yeah, that is the case. And the other aspect of this release we just put out last week is a development update. So we're already into the permitting process. We've got cultural work underway. And this is, by the way, just to break this down a little bit, when we do cultural work, it's all about making sure we've recorded the historic mining activities on this site. Of course, it's a brownfield site, which give us a ton of advantage in terms of information and support from the community for restarting the operation here. But it also means that we've got a historic activity on the site from 50 years ago, 60, 100 years ago, and we'll need to catalog that. The good news is most of that's already been done. None of it's related to any native activity or prehistoric or any of that sort of thing. It's all relatively recent and easy to deal with. So cultural, secondly, biology. We're already underway with plans around our geological survey work. And this is an update to the past work that was done, as this is a historic mining site, and we're feeling very confident about all of that. And we're getting our water source organized. We don't quite need that for mining yet, but we'd like to leverage that for future drilling. I guess the big development update for us in this release was the announcement of our general manager, Tim Barnett, joining us from Rio Tinto Kennecott Operations in Utah. He lives with his family locally in the area, which is fantastic for us. He's got a ton of experience with heap leach, open pit, and precious metals mining, not just in the United States, but around the world. And so we're really excited about Tim joining the team and what it means for, you know, the next steps for us, right? Permitting, construction, and ultimately producing gold.
Excellent. Let's go back a little bit here. Go back to the drill results and really the grade here. I know the answer, but I want you to answer that question. What would be considered a good grade specifically for this area? Well, in general, and then for this area, and then repeat what you guys looks like that you have.
The resource grade is 0.6 grams per ton gold. The cutoff grade, that is the minimum grade we'll mine in the PEA mine plan, is currently about 0.2 grams per ton gold. So a good rule of thumb here, Andy, is you want to have a average resource grade that's at least double the cutoff grade. And here we're at three times the cutoff grade. So these drill holes that we're getting, 1.2 grams, 1.8 grams, all close to surface, all in oxide gold mineralization, are some 2 to 3 times our current resource grade. And that's why these are important drill holes. The grade's great. And also the drilling generally in this program from 2025, is pointing to the expansion potential in the deposit, northern part of the deposit to the northeast, but also in the southern part of the deposit. We will have some from some drill holes. We haven't drilled any. We haven't released any yet from the South Merker deposit, which is even further south. And we'll look forward to getting those out to folks. But just in what we see in the main Merker area across about 3 miles of trend, we've got open mineralization. We've got close to surface mineralization, and all at really nice grades relative to the resource.
So I think you understated it when you said really nice grades, because I read list this and I by no means thought it was a typo, but I was absolutely shocked when I first got this. That's the kind of grades you're pulling out with the expectation of getting a 0.6 grade. Was that surprising to you? Just really, just candidly, I was shocked.
Well, I don't think we should be shocked about it. What I'd say is, you know, the average resource grade is a compilation of a lot of data work and geostatistics, and takes into some areas into consideration some areas with lower grades. You've got higher grades,
right?
So really, what matters is that average resource grade. But we're not going to see 1.8 grams per ton gold in the updated study for our PFS. But what is interesting to me is that if we go through and do the math on all 65 drill holes that have been released to date, all 65 intercepts in the deposit, the grade is running in those drill holes 10 to 15% higher than the average resource grade. So that's a good indicator. It's not to say that we're going to have a higher grade in the deposit when we get to PFS, but what it does say is that we can feel really confident about the resource we have. And remember, the PEA, the preliminary economic assessment we completed last year, has a $740 million NPV at $3,000 gold. And that NPV moves up to about $1.2 billion at $4,000 gold. So there's a ton of value here in this project. And what we're doing with this drilling, with this update on the development schedules and permitting and plans for engineering, is de-risking that $1.2 billion of NPV at $4,000 gold. When we bring on a guy like Tim Barnett, the kind of quality and capability that he brings to the table, what it says is that we're really on that path to deliver the 100,000 ounces a year from this project that we see. And we can do that in the relative near term. Again, this is on private land. This is going to be a relatively straightforward to re-permit, and all in a gold price cycle that seems to be just going from strength to strength here, Andy.
Yeah. About that, really said to me when you hired, and can you pronounce it? Can you give his name again, your new general
Yeah,
manager?
Tim Barnett.
Yes. When you brought Tim on, when you're bringing him Tim on, what's exciting to me again is that shows that this project is being de-risked. And really, the first thought I had was that this is really moving along at a really quick, but not too quick, but a really good steady pace, really, to get into production, because that's exactly why he's coming on. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. Yeah. And again, Tim's focus is to be leading the charge on the site with the site operational activities. John Meyer, our VP Engineering and Development, is driving the optimization, the engineering, and with our chief geologist working with John, the resource reserve, all that technical work. But you need to have boots on the ground driving this thing forward. Entity and making sure operationally we're being as efficient as we can, helping the geologists to deliver on the additional drilling that we want to do there, the geotechnical, the engineering planning, scoping out the site and optimizing on that, working with the community, all these things. And absolutely, we're on the right path here with the right people, with the right project. And, we've talked about this in the past, Andy, but the other thing is that Revival Gold has great backing. EMR Capital, Dundee Corporation, institutional investors, for just this point in the cycle here. And this is, this next 5 years, I think, are going to be very exciting for the developer space, and in particular for Revival Gold.
Talk about that a little bit. We've had many conversations, but one of the things that stood out to me was just the deep value you shared with me, the deep value in the developer space, still deep value in the developer space. Talk to me again, really, where is this all going? There's still deep value there. Do you see money flowing in, coming into the developing space here? And where do you see gold's just been on a runaway trade? Where do you see that going?
Well, start with gold. I mean, I think there's some very good reasons why gold's been on a runaway train. And I think, as you and I were talking about offline, it's an underinvested asset class. And when we look at the S&P 500, when we look at what real estate's done, when we look at the cost of basic goods that we pick up in the grocery store, every day, I think it's no surprise that gold is finally started to move here as the world's oldest, most stable store of value, right? So lots of good reasons why gold has moved. Has it got ahead of itself? I really don't think so. It's underowned. It's underowned by the central banks. It's underowned by individual investors. Some numbers suggest, ownership levels of 1 to 2%. Across investors right now for equities and the precious metal itself. And you've got groups like Morgan Stanley out there calling for a portfolio allocation of 10 times that level. So I think the metal is and the precious metals equities are severely underowned. So in this case, I think the trend is our friend. And there's nothing that would suggest to me that we're going to have a pullback beyond the level at which these projects continue to make a ton of money. Now let's talk about the developer space. When you and I have spoken in the past, Andy, when we first got chatting about Revival Gold, I said to you, look, we've got $500 million of NAV in a company that's got a market cap of $50 or $60 million. Now our market cap has moved up. We're running at sort of twice, three times where we were just a year ago. But along that way, you and I have talked about at $2,000 or $2,100 gold, that $500 million, half a billion dollar of NAV, turning into something like $1.2 billion of NAV at $3,000 gold. And today, what I'm telling you is we've got over $2 billion of NAV at $4,000 gold. So even while we make progress advancing the projects, there's this thing called, option value in a developer with that exceptional leverage that we offer since we hold 6 million ounces of gold in the ground, only 2.5 million of which have already been put into NAV. So sit on that for a moment. We're talking about $2 billion of NAV for just 2.5 million of those 6 million ounces of resource. And you can start to see why this, space, the developer space, is so appealing to investors in the current environment, right? You can buy senior gold producers that are producing gold and that are fully valued for the cash flow that they're delivering today, or you can take a bit more risk because we've got some timeline till we actually produce free cash flow, but you can get the gold at much better value. You're talking about something that's worth, again, $2 billion at $4,000 gold for something that's trading at today, a market cap of roughly 120, 130 million US dollars. So that's the leverage, that's the value, that's what, the conversation over the last year and a half that, you and I have had, going from half a billion to 1.2 billion to $2 billion of NAV. And that's without doing anything from a an engineering point of view or risking point of view or an exploration point of view. And of course, there has been a lot of that activity, as we've just discussed, and lots of opportunity to deliver more value beyond that option value, that sensitivity to the gold price and the value that accrues as a result of that.
Got it. Well, I am a believer. I am an investor. To all my viewers and listeners, I am biased, very biased. As I mentioned, you and I are very friendly off friends, off camera, spend a lot of time together. But really, what drives in my mind as an investor, and again, this is not an endorsement, but what investor are the rocks in the project that speaks for itself. So, and that's why I put my own money in. Hugh, if people want to learn more about Revival Gold, if they want to buy, trade, invest, give us your website and give us your the exchanges that you're traded on and your ticker symbols.
It's RVG on the TSX Venture Exchange or on the OTCQX market, RVLGF on the OTCQX market. And of course, our website, www.revival-gold.com. Folks can give me a call anytime, 416-366-4100. And I know they reach out to you often enough, Andy, as well. And I encourage that. It's good to get a second opinion. Somebody's looking at a bunch of different other things out there. You should be diversified in the space. And I would remind folks to look at our cautionary language on our website. There's a lot of disclosure there about what we're doing. There is risk involved with these development assets. I guess what makes me particularly excited about this and particularly long Revival Gold is, number one, the positive and constructive environment for gold. Number two, the lack of quality gold projects in good locations like the Western United States. Number three, the fact that we're on brownfield sites with existing resources and engineering studies and permitting underway. Number four, this team, which is delivering for our investors. And you can look back on the path of progress, the efficiency at which we spend our money, and the results that we've delivered to date, as an indication of the commitment and the quality of work that's being done.
Well said, Hugh. I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Want to have you on again here real soon. We'll schedule a time sometime in February, maybe mid to late February, or as news comes out.
Love it. Thanks, Andy.
It's always great to see you. Thank you.